Hey guys, Lady Luck here. I just love the fall season. Crisp mornings, pumpkin spice latte, and it's the best time to cozy up and play Spin Quest. They have over 1,000 different slots in all my favorite casino style games. And they're running a deal for all new players, a $30 coin package for just 10 bucks. So this fall, grab your favorite blanket, visit spinquest.com and download the app today.
Spin Quest is a free to play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
All right, welcome to hour number two of the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game. Look, we love all of our regular guests, John McClain, Tim Hasselbeck, everybody, but especially at 1 o'clock on Friday with our good friend Chris Sanders, forever Tennessee Titan wide receiver. Chris, good afternoon to you, buddy. How are we?
Man, I'm doing good. We got a big game against FRA tonight, man. It just feels different, and I'm excited. You know how much I love Friday nights, man, because, you know, you work hard all week, and you get ready to play a big game, and this is one of the biggest games we had in a long time.
Oh, I think it'll be a great game. Where's that game, at? On West End or overall Franklin Road?
It's going to be on West End. Franklin Road, it's hard to get up there, man. It's like it's like a rabbit trail. It's hard to get up there.
That's where Chase McCabe went. That's where Chase McCabe went. He'll fight you over those words, man.
No, I know. You see, I kind of tiptoed when I said it.
He is not in. All right, so listen, we're going to talk a lot of football with you.
Sure.
In this segment. Start the NFL. They had the cuts this weekend. Let me ask you this. We talked a lot about Restrepo. When they came out Sunday, made the team. Monday he gets cut. Wednesday's on the practice squad.
No.
I mean, look, this is the life of an NFL guy on the fringe, right?
Yeah, it is, because you got to understand, it's not like college where you have 80 and 90 people. You have a certain amount of people you can keep, and then there's a certain amount of people that you can keep active. So, you know, even though he got cut, he got came back again, then he got cut, then he got came back again, all that stuff is crazy, but at the end of the day, he still made the practice squad. And people are like, okay, if you make the practice squad, you're not any good. That's a lie. That means you're the best of the best. That means you can play the game. That means you're a one percenter. What the heck's a one percenter? That means there's 1%, .001% of people who make it in the NFL. So even though he got cut, he's back on the team. He still made the practice squad.
What's it like for Carnell Tate? I mean, you played this.
Yeah.
Look, you went to Ohio State. You played in the NFL. You're a week out from your game. You know, this weekend, do you go back to Columbus? Do you sit around him? I mean, there's a lot probably going in his mind right now.
Yeah, I just think that he's just got to get to a point to where, which he's done a long time, is handle the pressure. It's a different type of pressure. When you're at Ohio State, yeah, there's a pressure to win and pressure to do all these things. But now, this is your livelihood. You know, you got a team that's dependent on you. You got picked the fourth pick of the draft, so everybody's looking at you to make plays. Everybody's looking at you to be that dominant player. I know people are a little upset that he didn't catch a pass in preseason, but I guarantee you that when the season starts, they're going to be looking at him a ton.
Do you think opening game versus the Jets, they're going to – look, I don't want them to force the ball to him, but just kind of let the game kind of evolve the way – are you at the laundry machine? What are you doing for us?
No, I'm in the car with my wife, man. he said the laundry, man.
If you need to come by here and dry your clothes, you can. We don't mind.
No, man. I got it. What was the question again, man? That tickled me, man.
I'm trying to think. And game one, I hope Brian Dable doesn't have plays to force the ball to Tate. I think I'd like to just be like, it comes natural, like part of the play. Don't force things to Tate.
No, don't force it. But here's the thing. You just got to keep it natural. And I'm going to say, when I say keep it natural, it's kind of like this. If the first play of the game, you know, you don't want to just throw a bomb and throw a post. It could happen, but just throw a little screen. Throw a little bubble pass to get his feet wet in the game, because there's going to be nerves. He's going to be a little nervous. But if I'm the offensive coordinator of a team, I can't force the play, because if you force the play, then that's going to force Cam to make the interceptions that we don't want. So I just think that you just got to let the game come to him, and if you see one-on-one, check it to him and let him go up and make some plays.
All right, this is for you. Hit it, Dr. Crane.
Oh, my God.
It's for you on Friday night, buddy.
Hey, that's the jam, man.
All right.
Let's groove tonight.
That's your message to your receivers.
I know. Hey, that's old. See, that's one of those barbecue songs. When you're the barbecue, you can dance and do the three-step.
That is our question of the day today, Chris. Our question today is, Big Joe and I are throwing a tailgate. You know, obviously football season is back. What would you bring to the tailgate? It defines who you are. So you got to make sure you pick it wisely.
I know this is kind of silly, but this is a true story. I would bring a bowl of cereal. I just love cereal. I love cereal. I love eating Captain Crunch, and I love eating. What'd you buy me? My wife's in the car. She bought me some Rice Krispie treats that has the marshmallows in them. So I'm going to bring cereal to a barbecue thing. That's exactly what I'll do.
You better bring a lot of that. We got a lot of people come to this tailgate. You got to bring enough food for everybody.
I would bring that, but then if my go-to is, I would probably bring maybe some sweet potatoes, some ribs. I know this sounds goofy, but some oxtails. I love oxtails, so we would get after when we barbecue.
Chris, getting back to the Titans for a quick second, obviously you and Joe were discussing about Carnell Tate there, but when it comes to Brian Daboll and this offense, obviously they kept it pretty vanilla throughout the preseason. How would you like to see Brian Daboll open up the playbook going into week one against the Jets?
I mean, first of all, you know, I want them to establish their identity, because right now we don't know the identity of the team. Is it run first or pass second? I just want them to come out and just be consistent. And the way you can be consistent is your quarterback has to play at a high level. So the one thing I want them to see, say if they get the ball first, I want them to have a 95-yard, 12-play drive to where they're spreading the ball around. You give it to Pollard. You give it to Spears. You give it to Tate. You give it to Ridley, and let those guys make plays. So if we see that, guys touching the football, guys making plays, Cam making the right decisions, those are the kind of things that I want to see in your playmakers.
And then when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, obviously the secondary was not the greatest throughout preseason. That was a big concern for Titans fans. But going up against the Jets, and I kind of talked about this with Jake last couple hours ago, was just – I feel like if the Titans' defense, their front – it ends up bull rushing that offensive line. The Titans are kind of susceptible to the opening the flats and those screen plays, because we saw that in the blue and white scrimmage the Titans had at Nissan Stadium. They were just susceptible to the opening the flats. So how do you see the Titans kind of, you know, sufficing that if the Jets end up exposing it?
I mean, the thing about it is your front four has to be dominant. I mean, Simmons has to be dominant like it was last year. You know, the free agents that they got, they have to make plays. Because the thing about it is, we saw it in the preseason, if your front four doesn't get to the quarterback, now you're going to be susceptible to getting plays thrown on you. So it all depends on what Jeffrey Simmons does. It all depends on what their front does. Because if they don't get pressure on Geno Smith, they have some playmakers with Garrett on the outside that can make plays. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
We're talking to Chris Sanders. I like the Titans in their little interview with you about the final season at Nissan Stadium.
You talked about.
And look, you come on here and you tell us you can't take a hit. That damn Falcons guy about took your head off, and he scored a touchdown.
I didn't see him, but I really didn't see him. I do not like to get, I promise you, because when you get hit by, like, you know, Ray Lewis or Teague from the Dallas Cowboys, it don't feel good. So when I ran the side of just, I kind of peeked at him, but I didn't think he was going to be there. But then when he flashed, I just kind of pushed my body back, and then all of a sudden I just took it the distance, man. But I do not like to get hit, man.
I get it, but if all he had to do was wrap you up. I mean, I can hit somebody all day long, but if you don't wrap somebody up, you guys are so big and strong, you're just going to go and score, and you scored a touchdown on that.
Hey, say that again. I'm so big and strong. Can you say that again? It made me feel good.
Look, he tried to knock you down. I mean, you're a strong guy, and you just said, all right, if you're not going to tackle me, I'm going to score a touchdown.
Hey, he tried to take my head off, because actually it was two. The corner was Michael Booker that came here, you know, the season afterwards, and then it was the safety. What was this? I forgot the safety's name, but he was a really, really good player. But, you know, when you play football, you have a risk of getting your head taken off. But thank goodness I caught it to where, you know, Mac threw the ball in a space where I can catch it, turn and go up, touchdown later on down the road.
Hold on. Play. Michael Booker, the superintendent from Good Times, Bookman?
Yeah. No.
He can't tackle anybody. Hell, he can't. He's passed away, too.
Not Bookman, man.
He can't do anything with all that.
It was Michael Booker. Mere Booker, remember he came from Atlanta and played it with the Tennessee Titans. But yeah, man, I do not like to get hit. But at the end of the day, it's part of the game, but I don't want to be a part of getting hit. I don't like it.
So what do you tell your receivers at NBA when they're going to catch a ball and you know you're going to get popped? Just, like, absorb it?
Yeah, first of all, this is what it is, what's going through my mind. I'm going to take you through it. I remember we were playing the Baltimore Ravens, and Mac threw a ball up. It was cover two, and I jumped up, and the safety kind of hit me. And I remember Rudy Kalis, he said, I want you to explain to the listeners of what you're thinking when the ball is coming. So I'm going to take you out down memory lane. So as I'm running the route, I'm not thinking about the safety. I'm not thinking about the corner. My focus is I have to make the play. So when I tell my receivers that you're going to get hit, you're going to get hit by the safety, you're going to hit by the corner, but you got to focus on catching the football. That's why we do the jug machines. That's why we do catching drills, because it makes you focus on the ball as opposed to your opponent. And those are the things you need to do as a wide receiver. You got to focus on the football. You know you're going to get hit, but at the end of the day, you got to focus on the football.
Well, I'm thinking there's no drill that a receiver can run during practice where you get just blasted. Just know it's going to happen, right?
It's going to happen, but here's the thing, and we always talk about, you know, me and Derek Mason always talk about having that dog in you. See, having that dog in you is not screaming loud, grabbing people's face masks, or you know, causing a tantrum. Being a dog is when you know that the safety's going to kiss you square in the lips and going to run through your lips. Your heart says, "Yes, I'm going to get hit, but I'm going to make the catch." That's what it means to have that dog in you.
What do you do when you watch on tape and you see your receivers take their eye and they're looking for the hit and take their eye off the ball for just that split second?
You know, I go back to the drawing board, because you watch a lot of wide receivers, some of the ones that are not, I'm not saying afraid, but just a little tentative. They have alligator arms. When you have alligator arms, you kind of short change it when you catch it. So what I do is I create drills as a wide receiver coach to simulate to where they don't do that. So it all goes back to when we talk about developing a player, it's not just developing them of knowing, you know, the routes and everything. It's developing them how to train your eyes to catch a football, how to train your eyes so when you know you're going to get hit, to train your eyes that you can't have no distractions, but just focus on the football. Those are things that I would teach my wide receivers.
Yeah, Chris, talking about those hospital balls over the middle, I mean, we've seen it with Cam Ward throughout, you know, practices, yes, joint practices, even in the preseason, those mistakes he's making, throwing the ball over the middle. I get you can experiment from time to time throughout practice, but kind of like you just said, you took us through the mindset of catching the ball over the middle, but can you kind of take us through going back in time a little bit of the combination between the quarterback and the wide receiver, a conversation that was probably had before or after the game about balls thrown over the middle?
Yeah, it's just that you guys got to be on the same page. And it's funny that you say that, Big Joe, is we watched we talked about the play with that I just explained, you know, on TV, is when I caught the pass. Look at the placement that Steve McNair puts the football. He didn't throw a bomb. He didn't throw a rocket. He threw it to where I could catch the football. He threw it to a spot. So you're looking at Cam Ward. He's got to understand that when you're doing the RPOs, when you're doing, you know, different passes, you got to understand when to take pressure off the football and throw it soft or throw a dime to where only the receiver can catch. Because if you're running a shallow cross, that's 5 yards across the field, and you're throwing a heat missile, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to catch it. Why? Because the ball's so hardly thrown. So as a quarterback, when we talk about a quarterback developing, those are the things that Cam Ward needs to work on, is understanding when to throw it hard and when to take something off of it.
Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Anders is online with us. Chris, I know it's probably a tough question to answer here, but you know, kind of bouncing or piggybacking off what you just said there, my biggest gripe, or just trying to comprehend what Cam Ward's done throughout this offseason, you know, he took a lot of the wide receivers and tight ends down to Miami to practice throughout, I guess, their dead period in a roundabout way. You come back into camp, you're still getting the gist of the chemistry, but, I mean, you talk about those conversations you had between Steve McNair and yourself before and after games. How come Titans fans have not seen that quite yet with a guy like Cam Ward?
But see, here's the thing. I mean, he just doesn't know these guys yet. Tate's a new guy. Really's been there for a year. You got Robinson that played with the Jets. I mean, they still don't know each other. The reason why me and Steve McNair and Les Steckel, we can talk about these things, because we started in 1995, and it didn't really pan out until 1999. And it just goes back to that play that you know, Big Joe was talking about. If you watch that play closely, when Steve McNair gets the ball, his eyes automatically go to me. The reason why his eyes automatically go to me is because we discussed earlier in the week that if the safety blitzes, we're doing a side adjust. So we knew that. We knew each other. We talked about it. So if these guys are going to be on the same page, they got to talk through it. They got to go through film. They got to do it on the field, and they got to be their best friends on and off the field to make this thing work.
I don't know. Did you get to watch a Colorado-Georgia Tech game last night?
Boy, I watched the ending of it. My goodness.
The entire game. So the second quarter, halfway through the second quarter to the end of the game, both teams decided to run the football. And I'm telling you, Chris, last night, it was old school. Line up. Give me three. I loved it. We talk about receivers and passing and go, go, go. Yes. But last night, it took me back 30 years to when you were just like, first and second down, you're going to run the football. It was such an amazing game. But I got to tell you, and I know you played against Deion and the pros and all that.
Yes.
I felt good for him last night. I don't know. I was happy for Colorado because they didn't buckle, and they stayed with their game plan and won the game.
Yeah, because it starts with your head coach. It's that identity of the coach. And when you're – listen, this is what's so beautiful. I'm glad you said that. But when you have a coach like Deion Sanders that says, even through adversity, I'm not going to buckle. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how it looks like. I'm going to win the game. So what's that going to do? You start to get the identity of your coach. Even though they were down, the tight end made a play, then all of a sudden, you know, they get in a situation to where they had a possibility of losing the game, but they never flinch. Your head coach never flinched. Your special team never flinched. So when you have that type of guy, it just feeds and it gets the same DNA from your head coach.
How much fun are Friday nights for you?
Lord, man, you said I love it. I love it when you ask me this question. But here's why it's so special. It's because you get to see kids in the summertime to where before, years before, to where you never thought they would play. All of a sudden, they're starters. Now they're making plays. They go through trials and tribulations, and they're fulfilling one of their dreams, man. I love it when you ask me this question because you see kids develop. You see kids smile. You see after the game when they're cheering in the locker room, I believe that we just win. I mean, I love that. A lot of people don't see that side. All they see is, okay, Sunday, or they see Friday of just playing the game. But you don't see in the locker room where coaches are crying. When you see guys that you never thought would play making the winning touchdown, that's why I love Friday, man.
I'm with you. And it's funny because you go back and play, like one of the worst things when you're playing, I don't care what level it is that Monday you go out and it's like 90 degrees and the game seems like it's a year away. But I mean, the reward when you run out there on Friday, and I'm just telling you, on Saturday, and some of us that were lucky enough to move and play on Saturday, you know, and you were lucky to play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, man. But at the core, it's about the game and the guys around you, right?
It's about the relationship, and I'm going to share this little quick story. When we went and we beat the Jacksonville Jaguars to go to the Super Bowl, if you would have walked in that locker room, when you saw Bruce Matthews holding the trophy, when you saw guys that paved their whole life and never went to the Super Bowl and now have a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and you see tears in their eyes. You see Bud Adams, who never shows emotion, with tears in his eyes. You see Floyd Reese with tears in his eyes. You see Eddie George, and you see Steve McNair. You see Javon Kirsch. You see Samari Rowe. You see Derek Mason. You see all these guys work hard all their life to get to the pinnacle with tears in their eyes. Why? Because they see one of their dreams being fulfilled.
I know. I love it. We talked 2 weeks ago. Robert, when the Seahawks were here, I don't know if we brought this up with you or not. They Jeffrey Simmons got, you know, he's pushing around the Seahawks guys, and they were taunting the Seahawks. And then they asked Robert Saleh about the intimidation factor and yelling. He's like, that's fine. He goes, you can push it to the moment where you don't get a penalty. He goes, but at the end, you need to find your way back to the huddle.
Wow.
And I thought that was so because you're going to find your way back to 10 guys that love you, that you're part of 11. Find your way back to the hut. I'm like, that is a thing for life. Like, find your way back to the Lord. Find your way back to your friends. Find your way back to what makes you happy. And Saleh said that. I'm thinking, I like this guy, man, because that spoke volumes to me.
That speaks volume to me. There's always safety there. I'm going to give you a perfect example. When I lost my mother-in-law, I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Guess who called me? My coaches, my receivers. Why?
Wow.
Because I can always go back home. I mean, there was tears in my eyes. I come back to work, and all my receivers are waiting by my locker saying, Coach, we in this together. You got Coach Chauvin calling me. Hey, Chris, man, you need anything? And then on the flip side, this is another story, and I'm gonna be quick with this.
Sure.
But I remember we had the ice storm. And when we had the ice storm, one of my trees fell in my garage. Guess who calls me? All my receivers, coach, call me and say, Coach, we got chainsaws. Do you want us to come over and help you chop down the tree? See, it goes beyond just football. It goes to a brotherhood, a family, a trust. And when you have a situation like that, that's what makes football so special. Because it's not just a bunch of players. It's a family.
Beautifully said, brother. Good luck tonight, man. We love you, brother.
Tell Chase I love him too, that I'm going to, we're going to try to beat the brakes off him.
As you should, man. All right, good luck,
I'm
Bubba.
Kidding, bro.
All right, man.
I appreciate y'all so much. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Chris Sanders, always a pleasure to talk to him. I don't know, Dr. Grant, if you've seen that highlight that the Titans put on Instagram about his touchdown.
I did.
I mean, the speed that Chris, I bet he's still got, he says he doesn't, but I bet that dude still got speed, right?
You know, when I saw him at Pearl Cone, you know, he talked about the players and so forth, but for him, I can still see, you know, everybody, they got that dog in them, right?
Right.
Chris Sanders still has it in him. I mean, mentally, physically, I mean, the guy is like a chiseled Adonis. He's good to go.
How many guys can score a touchdown in the NFL then jump over a Buick in the end zone at the Rivers or wherever, Riverfront at the Rivers Stadium? All right, we'll come back. Short break. Chip Walters is going to join us just a little bit. Mike Organ at 2 o'clock. Lots of college football talk right here. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. I just love the fall season. Crisp mornings, pumpkin spice latte, and it's the best time to cozy up and play Spin Quest. They have over 1,000 different slots in all my favorite casino-style games, and they're running a deal for all new players, a $30 coin package for just $10. So this fall, grab your favorite blanket, visit SpinQuest.com and download the app today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.